This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
God with us, Emmanuel. That is the name that means God with us. And in fact, we know that as we approach the Christmas season now, following Thanksgiving, that indeed the very heart of God was manifested in the giving of hospitality. In fact, if we cannot even understand the nature of Christmas, we can't understand the nature of God's gift to us without understanding the power of hospitality. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about the power of hospitality. I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And I trust that today will be that for you. We'll be inspiring, we'll be encouraging. As we sat together with our family last evening, there were 16 of us sitting in our family room, all ages, all the way from 19 months, all the way up to, well, my age. Whatever that might be, my friends, all the way up to my age, and everybody in between. And as we went around the room, following our wonderful engorgement on a Thanksgiving dinner that offered all kinds of culinary blessings, we had the opportunity to share the things around us that God had done, things that were a blessing to each one of us. Each one of us had an opportunity to share. We talked about how God had used a folk called the Pilgrims back there in 1621 with the first Thanksgiving, and why they were so prone to give thanks because, well, not only was it the will of God concerning them, but also it was a matter that, well, they had a lot to be thankful for. They just did. And it was the birth of our country. Thanksgiving was the birth of our country in a sense. And it's that Thanksgiving that occurred up there in Massachusetts with the Pilgrims, even though that was not the first Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving was at Berkeley Hundred in 1619 in Virginia, right there on the James River. But it's the Thanksgiving there at Plymouth, the Plymouth Colony, that has carried through in the mind and memory of Americans. Well, the first Thanksgiving was born also not only in giving of thanks, but also in a kind of hospitality. It's a very interesting hospitality. It was a dual kind of hospitality because, first of all, there were only 53, as I recall, 53 remaining pilgrims. The others had lost their lives in the journey over and also in the first hard winter. But the 53 that were there left were celebrating. They were giving thanks with a great meal after the harvest, the first harvest that they had had. And along came 90 Native Americans, Indians, led by Chief Massasoit. And interestingly, the new settlers, that is the Pilgrims, gave open arms and open hands welcoming the 90 Native Americans. And the 90 Native Americans gave welcome to them by actually providing and said, in essence, welcome to a new land. Believe it or not. And so they went out and killed, half a dozen deer. And they had a great feast that lasted actually for 3 days. And so there was hope in the camp. Hope in the camp. Hope for the settlers, hope for the Indians, and there they rejoiced together. Hospitality spells hope, believe it or not. Hospitality opens people everywhere. Hospitality opens people everywhere, and it will give you hope when you engage in it. The unfortunate thing is that we have kind of lost that idea in America in large measure. We really have. Hyper-individualism has cost us greatly in our country. And indeed, it has produced a crisis of loneliness, the likes of which our world has not seen. A crisis of loneliness. I interviewed a gentleman many years ago, and he told us in his book at that time that we were going to be experiencing a crisis of loneliness, particularly among the baby boomers, because there were so many. But the reality is that crisis of loneliness has metastasized into every generation in our country, to the point where Generation Z is perhaps the loneliest of all. The loneliest of all. And so, we desperately need hospitality. In fact, if you were to consider an end-time message, would you ever consider hospitality to be an end-time message? Probably not. But the Apostle Peter said these interesting words, "The end of all things is at hand, therefore use hospitality." Should I repeat that? He said, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, use hospitality." Use hospitality? Did you know that hospitality is the only thing we're told to use in the Bible? We're supposed to use it. But what is it that we're supposed to use? What is hospitality anyway? Well, the reality is that hospitality lies at the very heart of the gospel. In fact, it lies at the very heart of what it means for the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. It really does. And so here we are, having passed the day that we celebrate and give thanks, looking forward now to the remembrance of the first coming of Christ. And even as we look for the first coming, at the first coming of Christ, it also compels us to look for the second coming of Christ. And both of them are rooted in hospitality. So that's why we're talking about this here in the transition from Thanksgiving to the coming of the Christ One, the power of hospitality. So again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. God's plan for you includes hospitality. An open heart, open hand, and open home is God's divine design to open the hearts of people everywhere is practiced. In fact, hospitality connects our hearts with God's heart, yet something dramatic happens in our hearts, closing the doors of our homes, causing Christianity today to ask, whatever happened to hospitality? Can you believe that? Christianity Today, the magazine, asked, whatever happened to hospitality? What would you say? When the Apostle Paul reminds us we must all be given to hospitality, it must be pretty important. In fact, it's critically important, especially for these times. We'll be right back after this, friends. The power of hospitality.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
When hope is lost, all seems to be lost. And many people lose faith for loss of hope, and hope is intimately connected to a word that we seldom really understand, the word hospitality. It's often been said people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. But many wonder, does anybody care at all? So hospitality, believe it or not, provides a hope-filled link between our faith in God and our required love of those created in His image. So today, among other things, we're going to explore how hospitality opens people everywhere. We're going to understand how hospitality is like a hug. It's like a hug. In fact, an article came out recently concerning hugs and the effect that they have on people. It actually has an effect on your blood chemistry, a hug. But hospitality is very much like a hug. But in America and much of the rest of the Western culture, touch is often somewhat taboo. And the absence of touch has revealed itself in unnecessary touchiness and is partly an expression of the progressive disease of individualism that eats like a cancer into our relationships. So a hug, as an expression of an open heart, will accomplish what no handshake will ever do. Because our greatest need is to be loved, we all yearn for, yep, a holy hug. And the shell of the hardest man can be broken with a hug from an open heart of hospitality. I want to share a story with you. Back when I was practicing law, you say, how could a lawyer's office be a place of hospitality? Well, let me share this. Ted was a tough guy. He was a businessman. He was rising in the ranks of the business world. He was a big man with big plans and big problems. And those problems seemed to defy solution. And they presented barriers in his relationship both to God and to his family and to others, including his wife. So Ted and his wife came to my office somewhat reluctantly for counsel on a variety of troubling issues. We talked, but instead of preaching at him, I did something that shocked him. I hugged him right there in my law office. It was a hug of holy hospitality. It revealed that my heart was open to Ted beyond the mere transfer of legal information. And that hug of hospitality broke barriers. In fact, for Ted, it opened a channel of relationship both to the Lord and others, and we became friends. And Ted and his wife traveled with our family and several others to Israel, where my daughters began to refer to them as Uncle Ted and Aunt Linda. And our lives would forever be connected, and eternal destiny was shaped right there through a simple hug displaying hospitality right there in a law office. Yet that hug of hope was most likely never would have taken place had it not been for another couple that we knew in a church in Pasadena, California. They demonstrated hospitality to us when we really didn't understand it. And it gave us a hope and an understanding and a feeling of warmth and fellowship, and it opened us in a new and interesting way. In fact, without that, I probably never would have, together with my wife, written the book, The Power of Hospitality. In fact, God opened our hearts and our minds to this whole subject of hospitality in a way that others had to show and demonstrate what that looked like. And then the Lord began to show to us even more expansively what the power of hospitality really looked like from His viewpoint. And so that's what I want to share with you here on the program today, because hospitality opens people everywhere. It just does. An open heart, an open hand, and an open home will change your world in ways you never contemplated. So I want to make available to you the book, The Power of Hospitality. What a great time to offer this book. It's $15 on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling, and the power of hospitality will be coming your way. And as you read it, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart and open your eyes and your heart and your home and your hand, and it's going to transform your life just like it did for me and for my wife. It changed everything. It was unbelievable how an understanding and living out of hospitality changed our home. And they say home is where the heart is. So where the heart is, there's a haven of hospitality then. Christ offers the home of the Father as a haven of rest. And we, as his sons and daughters, have to model the Father's hospitality. Everybody, every race, every culture needs a haven. And a haven provides hope for restoration, for recoupment, for reconciliation, for revival, for a night's rest, for eternal rest even. So, wherever you have a place, whether it's a cabin in the mountains, at the beach, at the desert, at the lake, or just your regular home, it provides a hospitable haven of hope for anybody. A weary minister, a worn missionary, or a washed-up marriage. It's amazing how God will use the power of hospitality once you catch the vision. So I hope you'll get a copy of the book, The Power of Hospitality, because it is a life-changing book. Let me share with you just how life-changing it was. I was a practicing attorney at the time and was also a volunteer pastor in one of the fastest-growing churches in Southern California for about 8 years. It was during that period of time that the Lord opened my heart to this whole understanding of hospitality. And so we were, we were leading a church within a church, so to speak. It was a group of about 100 people. Some would call it a Sunday school class, but it was much more than that. It was much more than that. It was like an inner body within the greater body of the greater congregation itself. And so during that period of time, I presented a series of teachings concerning the power of hospitality, what it looked like, what it meant, how to activate it, and so on, and what it looked like, how we were to live that out, and so on, in practical ways in our lives. The effect was unbelievable. That group began to grow rapidly. It grew about 50% very, very rapidly, and the pastor took notice. So he thought, I'm sure he thought to himself, well, I can't allow this group to get too big. They might become a big church on their own. So he decided to filter off all of our leadership that enabled us to fulfill these purposes, hospitality and so on, in that group. Took them off to form other groups. Well, we continued the teaching and so on, and the group grew again. It just grew again. Rapidly. People felt the heart of hospitality. And so, again, the pastor noticed, wow, this group is growing again rapidly. We better filter off some more of their leadership. And he did. And the same thing happened again. And again, it was unbelievable what happened. Let me tell you the effect of that overall. When we left that group, it was so united in mind and heart and spirit, we've never seen anything like it ever from coast to coast, ever, in all of our years in the church, in Christian ministry, and so on. People's lives changed. They began to catch a new vision. They realized that happiness is not a door opening inward. Happiness is a door opening outward. And they began to reach to others and began to open up their homes, and they began to open up their hands and their hearts and so on, and things changed. Boy, did they change. So 30 years later, well, 25 years later, after we left there, came to Richmond, Virginia, had launched Save America Ministries, and had been on the radio for about 25 years at that time, there was a reunion that was held, led by the people in that particular group that we had ministered with. That was in Southern California. People came from all over the country who had been part of that group. It was, you know, you talk about high school reunions, you talk about college reunions and so on. This was an unbelievable reunion of a group of people whose hearts had been wedded together, yes, by the truth of the Word of God in so many, many different ways, and in service to one another, but by the power of hospitality that had glued us together in a way that was tangible. You could feel it. And do you know that even as late as yesterday, I received a text from one of those people whose life had been changed 34 years ago, married because of the ministry of hospitality. Had not heard from this person for years, for 34 years. And she texted me and said, Chuck, I just came across some information concerning the power of hospitality, and I just wanted you to know how it had changed our lives. Wow. And it'll change your life too. It'll change your life too. Our nation was born in hospitality. It really was. And we desperately need the power of hospitality today. We need it not because of, well, what we need ourselves, but what other people need. Remember, happiness is a door opening outward. That came from a guy who came out of the Holocaust. Happiness is a door opening outward, not inward. There was hospitality, tremendous hospitality revealed in the Holocaust. I'm reading a book right now that I found in a business that were offering these books for free. I don't know where it came from, but stories about how people, the stories of those who rescued others at the time of the Holocaust. You know what drove those rescues? The power of hospitality. It was amazing. They even took great risks of life and limb in order to provide an open heart and an open home through an open hand. That's what happened. And so I cannot overemphasize the power of hospitality. There's a piece in the practice of hospitality. Kathy and I, my wife and I, have given ourselves to hospitality for, well, a good 40 years now, at least. And it has been one of the most, in fact, it has been, shall we say, the unifying force of our marriage and our life together in ministry. So, who knows what it will do in and through your life? Who knows, but this is part of what it means. Who knows what you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You just don't know. Hospitality provides hope and healing for hurting marriages. It brings reconciliation. It gives the opportunity for reconciliation and restoration. Hospitality opens people everywhere. Hospitality is spelled hope. The power of hospitality. We'll be right back after this, friends. It's also revealing the gospel itself. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismier. Did you know that hospitality is at the very heart of the gospel? In fact, there is no gospel without hospitality. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. God realized that we were strangers here on this planet. He realized that Israel were like strangers, pilgrims on the planet. So, he was not willing that we be strangers from him. Hospitality means to reach to strangers. And in this world, virtually everybody is a stranger from everybody else because everybody is selfish. We're inbred selfishness. That's sin. So we need something to break that pattern, and that's hospitality. And the power of hospitality in your home and in mine can guide the way to Christ's home. Here's how it works. Since hospitality means to reach to strangers in its most elementary and fundamental way, God, in the fullness of time, unwilling that we should continue to be strangers from him, wanted us to be reconciled, and therefore, in the fullness of time, he opened his great heart of hospitality, stretched forth his hand of hospitality, and sent forth his son to give us a message. The message was this: I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also. That's the simplicity of the gospel and the power of hospitality. There is no gospel without hospitality. It's good news because in the face of the world's bad news, God extends his heart, his hand, to his home. And home is the ultimate place of hope this side of heaven. In fact, a rabbi once said, hospitality is the closest you'll ever get to the face of God. Interesting, isn't it? Hospitality is the closest you will ever get to the face of God. So in the home, in our homes, resides the hope of the family, the church, and the nation. And no genuine observer can decide otherwise than that the homes of a nation are the bulwarks of personal and national safety. In fact, listen to what Thomas Jefferson wrote. He said, "The happiness of the domestic fireside is the first boon of heaven." Wow. You remember a fellow by the name of Edgar Guest? Well, maybe you don't know his name, but he said he wrote the poem Just a Looking for a Home. Just a Looking for a Home. That's the cry of most people. In his poem, he said, it takes a heap of living to make a house a home. One of the essential elements of that living is hospitality. Without a heart of hospitality, no house will truly be a home, and hope will not be found there. Even Ralph Waldo Emerson, a non-believer, said, happy is the house that shelters a friend. And those who open their homes in hospitality secure not only happiness in their home, but hope in the heart of the strangers that are welcomed there. Hope for the traveler, hope for the homeless, hope for the hungry, hope for the heartbroken can all be found in a home happy with hospitality. So, is hope being provided from your home? That's the question. Home, in one form or another, is the great object of life. Heaven, as our home, is the ultimate and final hope, but hospitality provides the hope of heaven. It allows your home to serve as a halfway house for God to welcome into his home strangers to the commonwealth of faith. So, as Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also. Therefore, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Now that's the final hope of home. So, will others find the hope of an eternal home because hospitality graces your home? See, that's where the power of hospitality comes in. It spells hope. Hospitality opens people everywhere. It's God's divinely ordained glue linking faith and love. It's like hope in action. It's like agape love in action. Hope for reconciliation to God. Hope for racial reconciliation. Hope for reconciling marriages. Hope for rebuilding community. Hope for realizing a discipled nation. And hope for revival. And restoration of hospitality is a tangible expression of agape love that would be the heart of revival. So, someone has said, it's a fireplace motto, the beauty of the house is order. The blessing of the house is contentment. The crown of the house is godliness, but the glory of the house is hospitality. So, I have a question for you. Can we be raptured to Christ's home if we refuse to open our home? It's an interesting question. You can throw all kinds of theological tomatoes or rotten eggs or whatever at the question, but it's a fascinating question. And there's some implication to it. And so, we'll look at that question when we get back from this break. The power of hospitality, friends. Yeah, God's heart's broken over the broken hearts of his sons and daughters. He really is. Yet hospitality is an essential for end-time preparation. You say end-time preparation? Yeah, you see, when Jesus came the first time, it was an expression of God's hospitality. When he comes the second time, it's to welcome those who have prepared themselves with expectation through their hearts and their homes for the entry into God's eternal home. Wow. Fascinating. The book, The Power of Hospitality, An Open Hand, Open Heart, and Open Home, will change your world. It really will. $15 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. And let me remind you of the special offer that we have made, because one of our listeners said, I think some of your listeners would like to be able to get all of your books if they could just get them all at one time as at a nice, very reasonable price that would reduce the postage and handling and all of that, it would be a great thing. He said, I'd certainly like to do that. And so, indeed, that's what he did. We responded immediately. And here's what we offered and still offer to you. All 11 of my books, including The Power of Hospitality, will be yours for $150 total. Now, that is a significant discount over the already reduced prices on our website. It's true. In addition to that, you'll only have to pay $6 for the first book and $2 for each successive book for postage and handling, which reduces another, what, 10 times 4, another $40 off of what would happen if you bought the books individually. So, all told, we're providing something like a $70 discount, $75 discount, by doing it this way. It's the best offer we have ever made. And you say, well, I already have some of those books. Okay. Well, through the power of hospitality and the expectation of ministering to other people, remember, an open heart, an open hand will bless your world. So if you see the need, the help for others that could be blessed by your putting one of these books in their hands, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's who knows what it is. It might be somebody who's struggling in their marriage. Like the man who responded recently when he got this package of 11 books. And he said, you know what? If I had had this a year ago, I started out reading Lasting Love, Enduring Secrets for Marital Success. And I realized if I had had this book a year before, it would have saved my marriage. Likely have saved my marriage. You see how this can be a blessing? It actually is an expression of Christian hospitality. You have your heart reached out to other people, you see. It's not just about you. And you can be a blessing. You can be a transmitter, like an echoing transmitter of the basic radio program and the message that goes out. God's hand extended, you see. So I hope you see it that way, and that many of you will seize this opportunity right here as we're 3 weeks away from, well, the celebrating of the Lord's first coming. The opportunity is right there on the website. You'll find it uniquely placed there so that you can obtain those 11 books very easily, very quickly, and we urge you to do it so that we can get them to you, so that you can use them as a gift if you so desire. But do it away. Do it right away. Let's get the thing rolling. And if you don't want to use the website, you can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. And if you're writing a check, you're going to write it for $150 plus $26. That's $176. And ask for the special 11-book gift and or discount, and we'll put it in your hands ASAP. All right. Now, the question was, can we be raptured to Christ's home if we refuse to open our home? So if hospitality means to reach to strangers, a stranger is anyone who is unknown, unfamiliar, unacquainted, or not admitted to fellowship. And our world is filled with them. Even our churches, even our homes are filled with strangers, virtual strangers. Would you like to know the implications of that? Stay tuned. You're listening to Viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. We're talking about the power of hospitality, and here in this final section today, we're asking the question, can we be raptured to Christ's home if we refuse to open ours? If the heart of the gospel is God's extension of hospitality, his heart of hospitality to us as strangers from the commonwealth of faith, then if we don't act that out, live that out on terra firma here, what does it say about our readiness to enter God's presence, his eternal presence? As the word Emmanuel, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That sense of withness has something to do with the spirit of hospitality. God desires to be with us. He desires you to be with him. Paul wrote, let love be without dissimulation. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, given to hospitality. Jesus, I think, was hospitality incarnate in the flesh. You watch him reach out to an outcast, the poor, the tax collector, to the sinner. And then to the Jews, and Peter said, the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. How would he know that? Because he said right there in Acts chapter 2 that the coming of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, was the beginning of the end times. So for 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years now, we are moving ever more incredibly into the end of the end times. Right now, I believe that we're in the period called the latter days of the end times. There's only one more period after the latter days of the end times, and that's the when the wrath of God is poured out on the children of disobedience. It's called the Day of the Lord. We're living in the latter days of the end times. Almost 2,000 years since the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ and the day of Pentecost. It appears from most scholars that Jesus was born about 4 BC, that he was crucified and rose again about 30 AD. That the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost in 30 AD. If you add 2,000 years to that, it comes to 2030 AD. Do you think we're living in the latter times of the end times? You better believe it. And God loves the stranger. He told Israel when they came out of Egypt and he brought them into the promised land, he said, you treat the stranger like you would treat yourself. He warned Moses, cursed be he that perverts the judgment of the stranger. And God's heart never changed. Malachi closed out the old covenant, and he said, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against those that turn aside the stranger. And don't fear me, says the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, and I change not. So Jesus was hospitality incarnate. And Peter said, use hospitality one to another without grudging, because the end of all things is at hand. Now, just so that we can understand this, people will say, well, I don't have the gift of hospitality. You don't understand hospitality, friends. Hospitality is not a gift I have, it's a gift I give. I want you to think about that. There may be others that are more outgoing than you. There may be others that seem to have personalities that are more warm and fuzzy than yours. That's not the point. Hospitality is not a gift I have, it's a gift I give. How do we know that? Because that's exactly what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, when he was discussing the essential elements of the Christian faith, the practical essential elements of the Christian faith, He said we must be given to hospitality. He didn't say given, gifted in hospitality. He said given to hospitality. Then, in his writing to Timothy, he said, anyone who ascribes to any level of leadership in the body of Christ must first be given to hospitality. Not gifted in, but given to hospitality. Then, in writing to Titus, he said, not only that, but anyone who subscribes to any level of leadership in the body of Christ, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a board member, maybe a pastor, maybe, who knows, an elder, must first be a lover of hospitality. So preaching, teaching, and living biblical hospitality will revolutionize the church as we know it. In fact, it gives the necessary handle to effectuate and activate the love of God that we preach about and profess to offer. It's the window through which we can reach an alienated world of strangers from the commonwealth of faith. And Jesus is not going to return until we give ourselves to hospitality. Therefore, hospitality has to be a priority for those awaiting Messiah's return on the near edge of the second coming. That might require reassessing our individual and collective viewpoints concerning them or bringing them into line with God's historic viewpoint on strangerhood. And our thinking will then change, as well as many of our personal and corporate plans and practices. So, Satan doesn't want us to operate that way. He doesn't want us to think that way. He wants us to be inner-directed. But our God is unchanging. He still loves the stranger. His message to his children has never changed. We're still stiff-necked like Israel was, aren't we? And for 17 centuries, we've developed traditions and practices to institutionalize strangerhood in the church, even in the name of Christ. And that's why Christianity today had its cover story years ago, whatever happened to hospitality? The way we do, the very way we do church, in effect, became institutionalized strangerhood. We kind of developed it almost into an art form. Satan's very clever. By the third century, he found a way in religious disguise to build a box that would paralyze the effectiveness of the church for 17 centuries. You know how it happened? When the Roman Emperor Constantine converted the Roman Empire to Christianity by order, guess what they did immediately? They took the house church and converted it into a basilica. An open heart's door was replaced by a massive church door. Stained glass replaced clear windows. The church couldn't see the world, nor the world the church. Beautiful buildings stole the beauty of the body of Christ. Come see our building, became the kingdom cry. Men and women who worshipped in synagogues and from house to house in the first century were now relegated to God's house, whatever that was. Now the cold pallor of strangerhood hovered over the spirit of hospitality. Worshippers gathered in rows rather than relationship. They looked at the back of men's heads rather than seeing the whites of their eyes and their faces. Instead of the Lord adding to the church such as should be saved, the church added such as should become members of glorified country clubs. Backslapping churchgoers replaced warm-hearted, hugging families. Come to my church obscured going to all the world. The building obscured the body. It was a clever sleight of hand. Also religious, but deception is still deception. The sense of the covenantal community kind of disintegrated. The back of men's heads in pews structured out the glory of God to be seen on their faces. Strangerhood was now structured into the church, and the Spirit of God was grieved. Love has become organizational rather than organismal. And the Master still yearns for us to bring the poor into our house and to feed their hungry with our own food. He wants to eradicate strangerhood at the table of his truth. He yearns for us in the final moments of history to finally come out of Egypt. And he's stirring. Mary and Joseph found no room in the inn. Remember that? Will your brother and sister find room in the inn of your heart and home? Remember, home is where the heart is. So, where is your heart? Have a heart. Open your hand and home. Now you say, but I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't feel that. It's not about feeling. It's about faith. Everything we do as Christians is about faith. You make the choice, and God will help you make the change. If I could end up writing a book called The Power of Hospitality with my wife, then you certainly can do the same. You can end up opening your heart, your hand, and your home in hospitality. In fact, everywhere we go, hospitality should grace our faces and cause us to see people differently, to see people from God's eyes, through God's eyes. In the most mundane of circumstances, whether it's at the grocery store, at the post office, at the gas station, I can't tell you how many places, many times, the spirit of hospitality that God began to birth in my own mind and heart 40 years ago, as my wife had prayed desperately for a husband that had a heart of hospitality, which I did not have, even having grown up in a pastor's home. You see, if we're willing, God's willing too. But we have to make the choice. And if we make the choice, God will help us make the change. He will. So if by faith I give myself to hospitality, you can pray that. I'm grateful, Lord, for all that you have provided to me. I want my home to be an embassy for Christ. Help me to walk out this calling of hospitality faithfully. I don't fully understand it. Help me to walk that out. Somehow reveal your divine heart of hospitality to me and through me and my wife and my family, or my husband and my family. Help me as an effective steward of the resources that you've entrusted to me so that I can better fulfill your call to holy hospitality. Do you know that when the Lord spoke to my heart in that regard, it began to change everything, even the way we used our money. We began to acquire various things that would help us to be better expressors of hospitality in ways small and even great. It changed the vision for our children and what they became involved in, even to this very day. But by faith, we had to give ourselves to hospitality. And the power of hospitality can change your life. An open heart, open hand, and open home will change your life, my friends. It'll change your world. Get a copy of the book. It'll sow the seeds, help you to understand in many, many different ways. Maybe you feel like you can't. Maybe you feel like there's just baffling barriers. Maybe you think that your home is not adequate. All of those things are dealt with in this book, Power of Hospitality. $15 will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling. And remember, we have that special offer for all 11 books for only $150, plus $26 postage and handling. God bless. Pray to the Lord. Ask him to give you the power.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.